The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Coming up on Life Today, Beth Moore explains what happens when our trust is conditional.
If our trust is conditional, what we've set ourselves up for is that the enemy will keep threatening us. If our biggest threat is that something is going to happen to our teenager, then every time our teenager is late, not only have we panicked, we have pictured the funeral.
If and Then, next on Life Today.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Betty Robinson and this is James.
And speaking of Beth, I want to invite all of you to come to our anniversary conference the 18th through the 20th of July. Beginning right afternoon, right after lunch on Thursday, Thursday evening also, Friday morning, afternoon and evening, Saturday morning. There you can see on the screen the speakers. You don't want to miss it. The music is going to be awesome. The theme, Awaken Now. That's not an announcement. That's a charge. It's what God tells us to do. It's what must happen. Now, Betty's book, Free to Be Me, is really a whole lot of what Beth became best known for. It's really how she got the attention of a church where so many people needed to be set free. That's the church of the Lord Jesus. And Betty found that freedom, and Beth wrote about breaking free. And she's talking about faith and trust and defining it, and I'm telling you, she's awesome. Now remember, mark down 18 to 20 July. You must pre-register. Go to lifetoday.org, register. We'll feed you on scene right there so you can be right with us. But you've got to register, and there is a registration fee. And you need to get in now because the building, 4,000, might get up, press up a little toward 5,000 with some overflow and extra seating. We'll see. But it's going to be limited. So go online and get signed up. Welcome, Beth Moore. Here she is.
Must trust God, period. I must learn to trust God, period. That's it. It's the sentence stops right there. Because, you know, I like to walk in faith. I like to believe the promises of God. I like to, in my situation, I'm going to go, I'm going to get me a concordance, I'm going to start pouring through the Word of God, finding all sorts of scriptures that apply to my situation, and I'm going to start asking for it. I'm gonna start asking for it. I still do that. I still do that. That still is my first way of approaching a situation I'm hoping to be delivered from. But it's not good enough because it left me shakable over and over and over again because I realized that what I was doing, yes, we do walk by faith. I mean, we do exactly what I just described, but it can't be all we do. What has to undergird it over and over again, or you've just had it, you will ride a roller coaster every day of your faith journey. You will shake and be easily moved if every bit of your trust in God is conditional. In other words, I'm going to trust God to not let that happen. I mean, I've got something in my life that I've got every day of my life, I've just got to go, I got to trust you that that's not going to happen. And a whole lot of my life, you know, oh, this is the threat on the page of my life right now. Is anybody getting into this with me? Anybody got a threat? This is the threat on my life right now and in my experience and in my loves and in my the things that are dearest to my heart. And I'm going to trust God that this is just not going to pan out this way. I'm going to trust God that this is not, I'm going to trust God to just bring us in a detour. I'm going to trust God. And all that time, that's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Walk by faith and not by sight. But listen, if everything we do to trust God is always conditional on what He's not going to let happen, we are going to fry in the oil of this earthly experience. because we will have assigned ourselves to the most tumultuous journey that a person in Christ could possibly have. I will trust God not to let that happen. And here's what happens if we do that, if we decide that we're going to practice, and only you know, start just going through sort of the journal of your life experience and what really defines a fair amount of your walk, and I ask you, is your faith, I will trust God, period, or is your faith more like mine was for so many years, I'm just going to trust Him not to let that happen? And I mean, a lot of times it hasn't. But then what happens if it does? So here are two things that occurred to me that as long as my trust in God is conditional, then I've set myself up for two things. The first one is the enemy will keep threatening me with it. If our trust is conditional, what we've set ourselves up for is that the enemy will keep threatening us with it. Case in point, if our biggest threat is that something is going to happen to our teenager, then every time our teenager is late, not only have we panicked, we have pictured the funeral. Am I lying? And mothers, please go with me. Or fathers, I'm asking you, if they get late enough, have we not only started picturing that they're going to be dead? And listen, tragedies happen, but most of the time, what happens? They come home. They come home. But we've already buried them in our mind. Listen, sometimes, I just hate to admit this, I've cried. Oh, I pictured the whole scene. And I've just cried because something's happened to my child. Now, she's 16 and a half minutes late. And in 16 minutes, I've completely buried her. This is what I've lived with much of my life. So the enemy will keep threatening us with it. Every time you can't get a hold of a person that you're most trying to hang on to, oh, this has happened, I've lost him. If you're single and you want to be married, every time a get-together, a meetup is a flop and you realize he's not the one either, like, it's never gonna happen. Am I telling the truth? If you're married and insecure, every time you're spouse seems distant for a little season. He's having an affair. I just know it. I know it. I mean, something's on his mind. Threat. If you fear financial ruin, every time your money gets tight, we're going to go into bankruptcy. Am I telling the truth? Is it just me, y'all? Or does anybody else just, woo, your mind just like, woo, it goes ahead and puts you there. So understand with me that all of this is it's in our insides, it is creating all the same emotions and physical responses in our adrenaline, in our stress, in our blood pressure, throughout our intestines. We are now, our fear goes ahead and puts it as a reality. We're already experiencing something that never has even happened. Because we keep buckling to the threat of the evil one. Many of you have gone through this. If you've had cancer, every time you feel like it's getting close to another scan, every time you get a cold, the cancer's back. And Lord, I trusted you not to let the cancer come back. And listen, I say this with respect. I know many of you on this one. I know. Listen, our world is full. I don't care what airport you're in, what many, many large restaurants, our churches. It is a very common sight to see a shiny bald head. When you live in Houston, Texas with MD Anderson and the whole medical center complex, we have people come to our churches all the time that are there from around the country. They're in MD Anderson. That's a common sight to us. So we understand many of you right here, many of you on the other side, you have gone through that diagnosis. You may be in remission now, you may not be. But that threat, Lord, I'm just believing you to deliver me from it. And so the enemy threatens it over and over and over and over. I want you to know what the enemy does when he knows that that's what we fear most. So he sets us up. Oh, it's going to happen. Oh, it's back. It's back. He doesn't love you anymore. He's looking at somebody else. All this kind of stuff. Your teenager is gone for all practical purposes. She'll never come home. All this stuff that just like whispers into our spirit. The devil is all about threats. All about threats. because only God knows what really is going to happen. So all the enemy can do, the enemy knows what's going to happen in the kingdom agenda, and that he is going to be put out for eternity. Revelation 12:12 tells us that he's furious, the devil is furious because he knows his time is short. But as far as the specifics go, he doesn't know what is going to happen. So his best option is threaten it. Figure out what they're scaredest of and then threaten it. And I need you to know today that the devil is a false prophet. The devil is a false prophet. Oh, he prophesies all the time, but he is a false prophet. So we've seen a couple of reasons why, if we've got conditional trust, if we don't come to a place where we just go, I've just got to trust you, period. If we just keep going, I'm going to trust you to deliver me. And I like to do that. I do that first, but right behind it, I've got to go, but you know what, Lord? I trust you. I got to trust your heart toward me. I got to trust your love for me. So if we keep doing that conditional thing, the enemy will threaten us with it over and over again. Here's the next bullet point. It's just two. If it does happen, and let's just say most of what we fear does not happen. I'm going to say that again. Most of what we fear never happens. And now I want you all, even on the other side of the screen, I want you to say it back to me. Most of what we fear never happens. Never does. But if it does, then not only are we devastated by the situation that itself brought all that pain, we are now also totally devastated with God because he did not keep his word. Now, what we're really saying is he didn't keep mine. I spoke this over him. I was clear in what I told him to do. There was no, I signed his son's name to it. There was no way he could have misunderstood me. I told him exactly what to do with the situation, and he didn't do it. And because my trust was conditional, now I'm down for the count because we're devastated with him. We claimed that that husband never would leave. We said, in Jesus' name, he will not. And what if he did? Now what? Now what? So I want you to look back at Esther 4:16, because there's some wording there I want us to lock on. It says in verse 16, go, she says, in her reply to Mordecai through Hatach, go, gather all the Jews to be found in Susa and hold a fast on my behalf and do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day, and I and my young woman will also fast as you do. And then I will, oh, I got to tell y'all something, because women, this will be so interesting to us in our day, because we live in a culture that says you cannot be skinny and thin enough. That is what's going to be the most beautiful. Do you know nothing could have been further from the truth to them? Do you know that to have fasted for 3 days would have been to drop your skin and kind of make you look a little hollow around the eyes? They felt like the oils, olive oil in a food, helped put the shine in your hair and in your skin. Very, very different culture. They did not, to look bone thin was to look like you were poor. My husband's grandfather was still alive after Keith and I got married. And what he said to Keith, he said, well, when he first met me, he liked me okay. But he said, well, you know, but she's a poor girl, isn't she? And it didn't have anything to do with money. It had to do with she didn't get enough to eat. And back in the day, to be that bone thin meant that you did not have enough food to eat. Totally different culture. So what she was saying would have made her less attractive to the king rather than more. So that's a big deal here. It was a very big deal to him. And then she says in place in verse 16, then I will go to the king, though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. If I perish, I perish. I want us to camp for the rest of our time together in this series over these couple of phrases because so much hinges on what we do right here. I want you to think we're going to reword it just a little bit because we're going to put back in it the word that is implied in our sentence. If I perish, I perish. Everybody say it. If I perish, I perish. And so what we'd really have, if we were going to stick a word just for extra clarity in it, we would say, if I perish, then I perish. If I perish, then I perish. The name of this series is, if and then. Not if and when, if and then. Because I want you to stare at these two posters we have on this platform, and I want you to think this through. I'd love it if you would take it down somewhere in your notes. If you're home, grab a sheet of paper, and here's what I want you to do. In two different lines there, I want you to write if, and then I want you to draw a blank. I don't want you to fill it in. If blank, and then I want you to write down then blank. Because this sentence right here challenges us continually. Season after season, circumstance after circumstance, all manner of personal up and down, we are faced with this very thing. Now remember, the enemy wants to always turn the if into a when. Oh no, it's just a matter of time. I can tell you, you and your husband will never make it. I mean, he spoke that like a false prophet over my family over and over and over again. And I believe I would rehearse it. We'll never make it. I don't think we're ever going to make it. I cannot see how in 5 years we would possibly have ever made it. So he likes to take the if out of it and switch it for a win. There are some wins. We'll talk about some. And I don't mean W-I-N-S. I mean W-H-E-N-S. But if this happens, then this happens. And what I want you to do is I want you, long after we're off the screen, I want you to mess with this for a while. Take a couple of days with it and leave it blank on your page, but jot down scenarios. All sorts of ways you could fill in those two blanks and see what you could come up with.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.
Okay, you've got an assignment. Father, I pray that every viewer heard what was shared, the challenge, and I pray they'll really take Beth's advice and do what she suggested. I want to thank you for watching. I hope you do tell others about Life Today. I hope you share with people you know, not only about Beth and about all the guests and what you hear, but I hope you share with them the tremendous joy that you have found in really being the answer, not only to someone's prayer oftentimes, but to their heart cry, to their pain, to their impossible situation. And I don't know, Betty, I don't know how many things we work with that are more gut-wrenching, heart-rending, than trying to rescue people from the sex traffic. How we pray for God to set free every person that's distracted. In any way any of us are distracted or are held captive with compulsive, almost addictive or addictive behavior. But when you take a child or you take women and totally against their will, not because they decided to get into the life of sexual promiscuity or a profession of sexuality to make an income, these were taken captive. Oftentimes, as very small children, you're going to hear one of the most heart-wrenching stories you've ever heard. But listen, you're going to hear good news, and you're going to know how you can be good news to so many like this girl and those you hear about.
If brokenness had a face, it would be Darlene's. Her spirit, her will, her body. All at the cruel hand of sex trafficking.
Cry mong, nhung la mong ye. Bun tai, bay na mong ye hai. Ye ban slap. Nhung ban chan tao ke.
Hao, tao men tao bai. Men ai chong. ខ្លួនឯងមានប្របួយនេះតើបើយើងមានមិនដែរអីពីមុនចេះត្រាក់ថ្នមតែពេលទៅដល់នឹងយើងរួមទៅអត់មានទេបងប៉ុន្តែគាត់ថា bà nè nà râm đôi chơi chơi khăn mình tờ tờ cái nó như tờ lụa ở kê nè lây ở đài miên miên là cà phê khăn ở ngay khởi nhưng mà xin cùng một bà kia xin cùng mà nghe xin chồng mẹ một bà bò ấy buồn đã xin cùng cái pin chặt
You see, when I listen to something like that, I don't take it lightly at all. I want her to be free. Now, if I want it, imagine how much God wants it. And Betty, I don't have to just wish that we could see girls like that set free who are crying out, I don't want to live in this hell anymore. You know, it's like a lot of people live like, I don't care if I go to hell. They just go around telling people to go to hell. They live like hell. They act like they're proud of it. That girl's really tasted hell. And everywhere God is not, you got a little glimpse of hell. But everywhere sin and horrible, seductive, abusive practices prevail, you've got a hellishness that's almost indescribable. She doesn't want it. She wants to know, how can I get out of this? But I want to tell you something, because of someone like you, maybe you'd think you'd be the last person in the world that could have been an answer to her prayer, but somebody like you was, we got her out. She's not in there anymore. She is free. And she's free because of the love of God, not because she read a love letter or she read a verse in the Bible or because somebody preached God loves you. Somebody showed her the love of God. The missionaries that God has called us to support. And here's what we do. We go out, hopefully, looking through the eyes of Jesus, and we see someone with the hand of God on them and the love of God in their heart, and they just want to rescue the perishing. And we help them do it. Because they don't have time to say, would you help us? They're too busy rescuing people. And then all of a sudden, they find somebody that noticed and said, we'll help you do it. And it isn't just me and Betty. You see, we have eyes to see. We have the cameras to capture it and bring it back to caring people. But it's people like you who say, we'll do it. We'll support the missionaries. This is the last week for this emphasis on rescue life. We need your help. It takes $128 per child. Now, this is what the missionaries tell us as we break it out. If we can get every $128 we can put there, we can rescue. Betty, the missionaries have pointed out we've got 6,000 that we know we can rescue. This is what we can handle. A missionary says, I can get that many. Another one says, I can do this. Another this. And many of them are working in places we can't tell you where they are. Would you dial that number? Would you give $128? Could you possibly rescue 10 and give $1,280? And then let me tell you this. Our Life Center reaching out, and I just got a letter that's congratulating us for our 50th anniversary. From the missionaries in the Ukraine, telling us where they had just been and what they'd seen. And they said, Betty and James, I knew you were the ones that helped us rescue them. And I saw others I knew you'd help. Who would help? You would. Would you please dial that number? This is the last week. We have some gifts for you. But you're going to give that girl the freedom that she cried out for. You're going to be the answer not only to her prayer, but her heart cried. You're going to give her freedom. We're going to bless you with gifts that will help you grow in your spiritual life. But I'm asking you to make the largest gift you can today during this last week. Thank you for doing it.
Human trafficking. It's hard to believe it's happening. But at this very moment, innocent boys and girls, many very young, are being forced into sexual slavery and exploited in every way imaginable. And someone must save them. Through Mission Rescue Life, you can help reach, rescue, and restore thousands of children from the horrors of the sex trade in Thailand, Cambodia, India, Ukraine, and many other nations. Your gift today of only $128 will help rescue a child and change their life forever. And with gifts of $64 or $32, we will combine your gifts with others to help reach, rescue, and restore one more child from the horrors of their kidnappers. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you Free to Be Me, Betty Robison's updated account of how she moved from fear and insecurity to true freedom. You'll also receive the companion journal for your quiet time and daily reflections. With your gift of $128 or more to help rescue a child, be sure to request your copy of the Life Application Study Bible. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help rebuild the Life Center in Ukraine destroyed by fire, or $1,280 to help rescue 10 children, and you may request the limited edition bronze sculpture titled Christian. This is the last week, so please call, write, or make your gift online.
I really encourage you to get Betty's book, Free to Be Me. This Life Application Study Bible is just fabulous. I really believe that you listen to Beth, you listen to others here, you want to get in the Word. You want to get the Word in you. You don't just want to carry the Word, you want the Word to carry you. This is the last week for this emphasis on rescue life. We really need to hear from every one of you. By the way, if you call, always for prayer, we'll be here. If you call, you get a busy, be persistent. I hope you're calling. If you need help, we'll do all we can to help you. I hope you're calling to help someone. Press on, pray on, reach out in love. Thank you for doing it. Thanks to all of you for being here with us. Thanks, Beth Moore. What a blessing she is.
Join James and Betty Robison July 18th through the 20th for the Awaken Now Conference at Gateway Church in Southlake, Texas, featuring inspiring speakers such as Governor Mike Huckabee, Pastor Tony Evans, International Bible teacher and author Beth Moore, New York Times best-selling author and speaker Andy Andrews, and many more, including musical guests such as Big Daddy Weave. Register today for this once-in-a-lifetime event celebrating 50 years of ministry with James and Betty Robison. Go to lifetoday.org. Musician and author Dennis Jernigan shares his struggle with homosexuality and his journey of finding peace. Tomorrow on Life Today. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.